Hare Krishna. So when we just chanted this particular line now, Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, we glorify not just Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Shivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, but we also glorify Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Vrinda means the circle or the group. So the entire body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee associates are very important for us. So inasmuch as it is very important and nourishing for us to hear about the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord, it is also important to hear the pastimes and glories of his great devotees and associates. So today is the disappearance day anniversary of Srila Swarup Damodar and of Srila Shivananda Sen, two very intimate associates of the Lord, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. It also happens to be the day when the celebrated Rath Yatra happens in Puri. It must have already begun now, because India is a few hours ahead of here. So we'll try to speak a bit about the glories of these two great Vaishnavas and then blend it into the Rath Yatra. Time, of course, does not permit us to speak at great length on these three events, which are in and of themselves topics for separate talks. Let's begin with the glories of Shivananda Sen. As we are all aware, Krishna consciousness is for everybody. It is not only for those who are renounced externally or brahmacharis or sannyasis. It is for men, for women, for grihasthas, for sannyasis, for everybody. And everybody can make advancement in the path of Krishna consciousness regardless of these material designations. So we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates not only many exalted souls who were renounced in the renounced order, but we also find many who were householders. We of course have the prime examples of Advaita Acharya and Srivas Thakur, but we also have wonderful examples like Srila Shivananda Sen. All these intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not ordinary souls. They are actually associates of the Lord from the spiritual world who have descended here to participate in Gaur Leela. They have an equivalent in the Krishna Leela in Vraja. And these equivalents have been described or mentioned by Kavi Karnapur in the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika. Anyway, Kavi Karnapur happens to be the son of Shivananda Sen, so we'll come to that shortly. So Shivananda Sen, as mentioned by his own son in the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, is Veera Duti, who was like a go-between for Krishna and the gopis, passing messages between Krishna and the gopis, arranging meetings. So a lot of all kinds of transcendental subterfuge and all sorts of hidden arrangements go on in the spiritual world, and that nourishes and sweetens the Lord's pastimes even more. Now, Veera Duti has appeared in Gaura Leela as Sri Shivananda Sen. And as it happens, to demonstrate that Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any material designation like high birth, for example, being born in a Brahmana family, etc., that is not necessary at all. In fact, many times it becomes an impediment. So in order to demonstrate this, many of the Lord's past of his associates appear in families that may not be considered very exalted from a material, social point of view. So Shivananda Sen appeared in a Vaidya family, Vaidya caste. Vaidya means a physician, a doctor. And he was born in a place called Kumarhatta. Any of you have heard of this name? Does it sound familiar for some reason? Yes, Mataji. Yes. Kumarhatta is the place where Ishwarapuri, the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was born. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went there, he was so overwhelmed and overcome with feelings of devotion towards his guru that he took away a little mud from that place. And he kept it with him, and he would eat it sometimes, every now and then, because he considered the dust of that place to be so holy. Now, following in the footsteps of Mahaprabhu, devotees after him also started coming and scooping out a little mud from that place. And as the months and years passed by, it became a huge ditch, and the ditch increased even further. And eventually now it is filled with water, and it became like a lake, a little pond, something like the kind we have here at the manor. So that is Kumarhatta. So Shivananda Sen was born in that place. He had three sons, Chaitanya Das, Sri Ramadas, and Sri Paramananda Das. All three were exalted souls. But in particular, I would like to briefly mention Paramananda Das. Of course, the glory of parents lies when their children become exalted devotees of the Lord. That is really the glory. Generally, parents look for glory in the material progress and advancement of their offspring. But the real glory of the parents comes when the children become pure devotees of Krishna. So Shivananda Sen was in his own merit, on his own standing, an associate of the Lord. And all the more he becomes glorified because of these three exalted sons that he had. And the youngest among them was Sri Paramananda Das. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would lovingly call him Puri Das. Call him Puri. Puri Das. And this is actually even before he was born, when Shivananda Sen and his wife came to Puri one time, and she was pregnant with Paramananda Das. At that time, Mahaprabhu had instructed Shivananda that name him Puri Das. So Paramananda Das and Puri Das were the two names. And later, he got the name Kavi Karnapur. When he was born, then Shivananda Sen again brought him to Mahaprabhu in Puri. And Mahaprabhu gave him the good fortune of sucking his toe. So the little child, you know, children like to put everything in their mouth, right? So Mahaprabhu, he was crawling at Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And then he grabbed hold of Mahaprabhu's toe and he wanted to suck it, and Mahaprabhu allowed him to do that. So right from childhood, he got the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet. When the child was a little grown up further, he was still a boy. Once again, when Shivananda Sen came there to Puri, and the boy accompanied him. And this time, Mahaprabhu again showed him mercy. And he took him close by and said, "So Puridas, chant Krishna, chant the names of Krishna." But the boy remained mum. And Mahaprabhu tried to cajole him in so many ways. "Chant, chant, chant Krishna, Krishna, say Krishna." But he wouldn't open his mouth, as if his lips had been stitched. He just kept mum. And Mahaprabhu threw up his hands in frustration. He said, "I've managed to make the whole world chant Hare Krishna. But this little boy is so stubborn, he refuses to chant Hare Krishna when I ask him to." And everybody was smiling. But Shivananda Sen was greatly embarrassed. And he was trying to persuade his son, chant Krishna, but he wouldn't. Then finally Swarup Damodar came up and he said, "My dear Lord, I know the reason why this boy refuses to chant. It's because in giving him this instruction, you have given him your mantra. And in giving the mantra, the disciple therefore has to keep it confidential. He cannot reveal it in front of anybody else. And we are all present here. So this boy understands the etiquette. So he is purposely not speaking it aloud, but he is following your instruction and he is chanting it mentally." So all the Vaishnavas and Mahaprabhu also were very, very pleased to hear this. Later on, of course, Kavi Karnapur went on to write several books, and the most famous one being the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, in which he has identified the original entities or the devotees who appeared in Gaura Leela. So anyway, that's a little bit about Shivananda Sen's sons. Now the main service of Shivananda Sen, apart from maintaining his family and doing his personal Krishna consciousness, was that he was in charge of the devotees when they went from Bengal to Jagannath Puri every year. As you know, for the 4 months of the Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the monsoon, devotees from Bengal would take a holiday from their work. They would work for 8 months, earn their livelihood and so on. And then for 4 months, they would go to Puri to be in the Transcendental Association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they would celebrate many festivals there, like the Rath Yatra and so on. And they would also participate in chanting Sankirtan with Mahaprabhu. So Shivananda Sen was the one who was responsible for making all the arrangements. He was an expert manager. And not only did he manage everything, he, from his own pocket, he paid all the toll fees, the octroi fees, the ferry charges and so on, because they had to cross rivers also at some time. And they had to cross boundaries. So he would take care of all these arrangements. And Shivananda Sen was so expert in doing all these things. He was, apart from being an exalted devotee, he was also worldly wise. Now that's not a combination that we find very often. Someone who is an exalted devotee and at the same time knows how to deal with the world and how to live in the world. So spiritual wisdom and worldly wisdom is a very rare combination. And we need devotees in our community also who have this kind of combination. So one time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Shivananda Sen. He said, "I have a complaint about Vasudev Datta." Vasudev Datta was a great devotee in his own right, but he wasn't worldly wise. And whatever money he would get, he would spend it. So Mahaprabhu called Shivananda and said, "Look, this Vasudev Datta, he's a prodigal spender. Whatever money he gets, he immediately spends it. How is he going to manage his family if he's going to spend like this? So I want you to take charge of his life, his finances. And you discuss with him exactly what he should spend, where he should spend, what is his income, what is his expenditure. You sit down and manage his finances for him. And make sure that he saves up some money for the future. Otherwise, how is he going to look after his family?" In other words, Mahaprabhu, although he was a renunciant himself and he was surrounded by many renunciants, but he was extremely practical as well. It's not that because he was there were devotees that they were neglectful of their family well-being. So Mahaprabhu was very concerned about all of this. So Shivananda Sen was renowned for his worldly wisdom as well. And then he took charge of Vasudev Datta and managed his affairs for him. One time when the devotees were traveling from Bengal to Puri, a stray dog happened to tag along. In England, I don't think you see stray dogs. But in India, you'll find many, many of them. And most of them give you sleepless nights if they happen to be around the place where you live. So this stray dog happened to tag along. Obviously, he was not a stray, not a ordinary soul, because otherwise, why would you tag along with the devotees? So Shivananda Sen became very merciful to him. And he allowed the dog to come along. And so long as they were walking, it was fine. But when the time came to board a boat, to cross a river, the boatman refused. He said, I can't take dogs in my boat. And anyway, you know, he's like another person, so you have to pay for him. So Shivananda Sen agreed. He paid a decent sum to have the dog on board as a passenger. And he would personally feed rice prasadam to this dog. And this went on for some time. One day, when Shivananda Sen was preoccupied with paying all the toll charges and everything, somehow the dog, he forgot to feed the dog, and the dog wasn't to be seen anymore. Shivananda Sen was unhappy about this. He sent out almost 10 devotees in different directions to look for the dog, but the dog was nowhere to be found. Shivananda Sen was so grief-stricken that he fasted that evening. He could not eat. So this is an example of how we can take care of animals. Shivananda Sen never kept the dog in his house. So we shouldn't keep pets in the house, but rather we can protect them when they're outside. Of course, in a place where stray animals are not allowed, then what do? Well, keep them somewhere outside, but not inside the house. So anyway, then Shivananda Sen couldn't do anything about it, and the whole party of devotees eventually reached Mahaprabhu's, reached Jagannath Puri. And even before they had darshan of Lord Jagannath, they went straight to have darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see them, and then he allotted them their various places of residence. The next day, when Shivananda Sen and the other devotees came to see Mahaprabhu, they were astonished to see that very same dog there. And Mahaprabhu, very compassionately, was feeding coconut pulp, prasadam, from his very own lotus hands to the dog. And the dog was lapping it up. So the dog could not be seen afterwards. And then the devotees understood that Mahaprabhu had actually sent the dog to the spiritual world. He had delivered the dog. In other words, devotional service is so special that even an animal, or even a plant for that matter, can get delivered and go back to Godhead. These are, however, rare. Generally, we have to come to the human form of life and practice Krishna consciousness regularly in the association of devotees. Another pastime regarding Shivananda Sen that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that there was a devotee called Nakula Brahmachari, and it was said that he had the avesha of Mahaprabhu, meaning that Mahaprabhu had entered into Nakula Brahmachari, and he had thus empowered him to preach and transform the lives of people and make them Krishna conscious. Now when Shivananda heard this, because hundreds of people around were talking, speaking about the glories of Nakula Brahmachari, a seed of doubt appeared in Shivananda's mind. Really? Is that possible? How could Mahaprabhu have, you know, entered into him? And he said, let me go and test out Nakula Brahmachari. So Nakula Brahmachari was sitting at one place, and huge crowds had gathered around him. And Shivananda Sen stayed at the rear, where he could not be seen by Nakula Brahmachari. And Shivananda Sen resolved in his mind that I have this doubt in my mind about Nakula Brahmachari, and if Nakula Brahmachari calls out my name and asks me to come forward to him, and if he is able to identify what my mantra is, which I am chanting in my mind, then I will understand that what I have heard about Nakula Brahmachari is true. And sure enough, in a very short time, Nakula Brahmachari called out loudly, "Oh, two or four of you, you go and look for Shivananda. Where is Shivananda? And bring him to me." And these people came running, "Where is Shivananda? Who is Shivananda?" So Shivananda identified himself, and 50% of the test, Nakula Brahmachari had passed. Now the other 50%. So Shivananda came up to Nakula Brahmachari and offered his respects. And Nakula Brahmachari said, "So my dear Shivananda Sen, you are doubting me. You were chanting the four-syllable Gaur Gopal mantra, which was indeed true. And then all doubts were set to rest." And Shivananda Sen offered his respectful obeisances to Nakula Brahmachari and understood that what he had heard about Nakula Brahmachari was indeed true. There was another Brahmachari whose name was Narsinghananda Brahmachari. Now one time Shivananda Sen's nephew Srikanta Sen had gone to Puri from Bengal, and he met Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu told him, "Please tell the devotees in Bengal that they need not come to see me in Puri this year, because I will myself go to Bengal." So Srikanta Sen brought this message back to the devotees, and the devotees were eagerly looking forward to Mahaprabhu's visit. Shri Shri Radha Gokul Ananda ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So the devotees were eagerly waiting for the Lord to arrive in the month that he had promised the Lord to come, when he would come, but he did not come. So Shivananda Sen was also getting very anxious along with the other devotees. And it so happened that this devotee, Narsimhananda Brahmachari, who was earlier known as Pradyumna Brahmachari, Mahaprabhu gave him the name Narsimhananda because he was a staunch devotee of Lord Narsimhadev. So when Narsimhananda Brahmachari heard the sorrow of the devotees, he said, "Don't worry, I'll make sure Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes here. I'll bring him here." Everybody was astonished and they believed him, but Shivananda Sen again was thinking, how is that possible? So Narsimhananda Brahmachari sat in meditation and he said, "Shivananda, please arrange ingredients for me to cook, and I'm going to offer bhoga to Lord Narsimhadev, to Lord Jagannath, and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So Shivananda was doubtful. He said, "All right, but anyway, he's asking for ingredients." So he procured all the ingredients and supplied them to Narsimhananda Brahmachari, who then cooked nice feast and had three portions and offered them in front of the tea, three separate portions, one for Narsimhadev, one for Jagannath, one for Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu personally manifested himself there and physically ate all three offerings and made the plates empty. Normally, the Lord eats with his eyes and leaves behind his remnants, which his devotees then partake of with great relish. But in this case, Mahaprabhu actually physically appeared there and ate all three plates. Nobody else could see this because this was happening within closed doors. And then Narsinghananda Brahmachari said, "Alas, alas." And he came out and Shivananda Sen was anxious. "What happened? Why is he saying, alas, alas?" He said, "Just see what your Lord has done," meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "He came here. I don't mind him eating the food that was offered to him. Even Jagannath, I can understand. He's non-different from Jagannath. But Narsimhadev is my Ishtadev, and he has eaten even Narsimhadev's offering. Now, if the master is fasting, then the servant must also fast. So I'm also not going to eat anything, but I must feed the master." So Shivananda Sen was wondering whether Narsimhananda Brahmachari was speaking in ecstatic trance, or whether he really meant what he was saying and it was true. But anyway, he supplied further ingredients and then he offered again. As it happened, as far as the other devotees were concerned, Mahaprabhu did not come that year. So the next year, when the devotees went from Bengal to Puri, and they met Mahaprabhu, and Shivananda was also present in that group, he saw Narasimhananda Brahmachari. Or he saw another devotee, and he mentioned, "Oh yes, last year I came at the end of the month of Paush, and Narasimhananda Brahmachari fed me sumptuously." At that time, Narasimhananda Brahmachari had said, "Actually, in my meditation, I have brought Mahaprabhu to Panihati, and now I'll further bring him here." But apparently, Mahaprabhu returned from Panihati. He went back from Ramakeli. So then Shivananda Sen was convinced about the glories of Narasimhananda Brahmachari. Let's talk then further about Swarup Damodar Goswami. Both Vrindavan Das Thakur and Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami consider Swarup Damodar Goswami as probably the most important associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Kaviraj Goswami also mentions that amongst the intimate associates of the Lord in Puri, 3.5 were the most intimate. Does anyone know the names of these 3.5 intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? 3.5. Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, Shikhi Mahiti, and the half? Shikhi Mahiti's sister. Because she was a lady and he was a sannyasi, so obviously there couldn't be much close association. So 3.5 intimate associates. But amongst them, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar were more intimate, and Swarup Damodar is considered probably the most intimate associate of the Lord. Now, in Gauda Ganodesha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur identifies him as Vishakha Sakhi from Krishna Leela. But it is generally accepted in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that actually Swarup Damodar is Vishakha. And Srila Prabhupada in one place identifies Swarup Damodar as being a direct expansion of Srimati Radharani, because these intimate gopis are not jivas. They're direct expansions of Srimati Radharani. And these expansions appear in order to nourish the rasa, the leelas between Radharani and Krishna. So he was very well versed and conversant with the intimate moods of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu had appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and therefore naturally he wanted those devotees around him who also understood that mood. So Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai were expansions of these gopis, the chief assistants of Radharani. So it was only fitting that they would be with Mahaprabhu when he was in his intense periods feeling separation from Krishna. As Mahaprabhu's pastimes continued in Puri from the Madhya Leela onwards to the Antya Leela, and as the Antya Leela progressed, these episodes, daily episodes actually, when Mahaprabhu would be in intense periods of separation, they just grew day after day. And as the Antya Leela progressed, Mahaprabhu withdrew within himself. He was not even coming out so much for Sankirtan as he used to frequently earlier in the Madhya Leela. In the Madhya Leela time, he would come out, he would dance, he would chant, he would associate with the devotees, go for prasadam at the homes of his devotees. He was very much sociable and available to everybody. But in the Antya Leela, as the time progressed, he started withdrawing and restricting himself to the Gambhira, And there, day and night, he would feel intense separation from Krishna. And at that time, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai would be there to pacify him, to provide him solace. Swarup Damodar Goswami was an expert musician. And his singing was simply out of this world. Whenever Swarup Damodar would sing, invariably, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance and dance in Kirtan. It was not only extremely melodious, but Swarup Damodar knew the different mellows of that Mahaprabhu was experiencing, and he would chant those verses and songs that exactly matched the moods of Mahaprabhu at any given moment. So therefore, Mahaprabhu was extremely fond of Swarup Damodar's singing. Yesterday was Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day, and we were mentioning that Gadadhar Pandit was an expert, highly devotional and melodious reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and even Mahaprabhu would go to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So inasmuch as Mahaprabhu relished going to Gadadhar Pandit to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would like to hear the kirtan and the singing of Swarup Damodar. Sometimes they would sing the Mahamantra just in kirtan, and sometimes Swarup Damodar would sing the songs of great Vaishnava poets like Chandidas, Vidyapati, Bilva Mangal Thakur, and so on. And even the plays of Ramananda Rai. Sometimes songs from the Bhagavatam. And when Mahaprabhu was feeling these pangs of separation, Ramananda Rai would also sometimes recite verses from these works, and Swarup Damodar would sing. So in this way, they would somehow pacify the burning fire of separation that Mahaprabhu used to feel. Now, Swarup Damodar has a very important role to play in making available information about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and pastimes to us. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the early days, the Adi Leela, have been recorded by his associate Murari Gupta in his Karcha. Karcha means the notes. And these notes were later on taken by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who further expanded on them and wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are given more in detail by Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, how did he get that information? That's interesting. When Raghunath Das Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him shelter, at that time he handed him over to Swarup Damodar and said, "I hand him over to you for good instruction." And from that day on, Swarup Damodar became the Shiksha Guru of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami became known as Swarupera Raghunath. Because there were three Raghunaths. One was Raghunath Das Goswami, another was simply Raghunath Das, and the third was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So in order to distinguish this Raghunath from the others, he was known as Swarupera Raghunath, the Raghunath of Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar would give him good instruction. Sometimes when Raghunath Das Goswami wanted direct instructions from Mahaprabhu, then Swarup Damodar would place that request before Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would respond, and Swarup Damodar would convey that to Raghunath Das Goswami. In the course of this intimate association, Swarup Damodar made Raghunath Das Goswami memorize many Sanskrit verses that he composed, which were basically narrations of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in the Madhya Leela and the Anti Leela. Because Swarup Damodar was the most intimate associate of Mahaprabhu, he was also personal witness to all the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And therefore, for the benefit of posterity, he composed these verses that describe these pastimes in a nutshell. And then he made Raghunath Das Goswami memorize them. Although Swarup Damodar didn't put these down in writing, this collection of verses is called Kadacha. Again, the notes of Swarup Damodar. So the notes of Murari Gupta and the notes of Swarup Damodar together have given us complete information, not complete, but quite a lot of information about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So then Raghunath Das Goswami left Jagannath Puri, and he was instructed to go because he was feeling great separation from Mahaprabhu's. He left for Vrindavan. He joined Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's there, and he would live at Radha Kund. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was to later compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita, would come and regularly hear Chaitanya Leela from Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami would sit on the banks of the Radha Kund, and every evening for at least 3 hours, he would speak the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many of the associates or many of the devotees living at Radha Kund would come there and hear from him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami made copious notes from these lectures. And it's on the basis of these notes that he finally compiled the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is how we have information about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. From Swarup Damodar to Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami to Swarup, to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and then onward to the whole world. And through Srila Prabhupada to the whole world. So we owe a lot to Swarup Damodar for this most valuable contribution. There's much more to say, of course, about Swarup Damodar. One thing that must be said about Swarup Damodar is that he was like a filter, a screening agent. Nobody could recite any verse or any composition like a drama or a play or a poem or anything before Mahaprabhu unless Swarup Damodar had vetted it. Because you see, what happened was that many people would come and they would speak verses that were not philosophically correct. And they would often do what is called rasabhas, overlapping of rasas. And this would cause great pain to Mahaprabhu. So therefore he would instruct Swarup Damodar, don't let anybody come to me till you have heard it. Only if you okay it, then you can let it come to me. So Swarup Damodar would hear. One time there was a devotee called Bhagavan Acharya who lived in Puri. And one of his acquaintances from Bengal, who fancied himself as a poet, came. And he wanted the devotees to hear his composition. And Bhagavan Acharya was trying to persuade Swarup Damodar to hear it so he could recommend it to Mahaprabhu also. Swarup Damodar wasn't keen. But because Bhagavan Acharya was insisting, so he finally relented and he heard the composition. Just upon hearing the introductory verse, Swarup Damodar chastised that poor man from Bengal because he was all mixed up in his philosophy. He had made many grave philosophical errors. But he was very kind, so he explained everything to him. Fortunately, that poet from Bengal took a humble position, and eventually he received the mercy of Mahaprabhu. This pastime has been described in a fair amount of detail by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's interesting to know that Swarup Damodar Goswami was actually a sannyasi. His former name was Purushottam Acharya, and he lived in Navadvip when Mahaprabhu lived there as Nimai Pandit. But when Nimai Pandit took sannyas, then he left Navadvip. He went to Banaras, Kashi, and he took sannyas there eventually from Chaitanyananda Bharati. But he didn't complete the formalities of taking sannyas. He shaved off his shikha and he gave up the sacred thread, but he didn't accept the saffron cloth and he didn't accept the danda of sannyas, and also he didn't change his name. So this Swarup Damodar was a brahmachari name, but he didn't accept the sannyas name. He didn't have the intention of completing the formalities because he had heard he wanted to be with Mahaprabhu in Puri. So he left the formalities as they were and he came to Puri. And one of the reasons also for his doing that is that he wanted to remain humble. Because he thought that if I take a sannyas name, then perhaps I may become proud. So he left the formalities half done. He was a sannyasi. So then he came and joined Mahaprabhu. This was sometime shortly after Mahaprabhu had returned from his trip to South India. This is in the Madhya Leela. And thereafter, Swarup Damodar remained with him, with Mahaprabhu. One pastime that is interesting, that is in connection with Jagannath also, is that he was a great friend of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was also the Diksha Guru of Gadadhar Pandit. And they would often meet together when Pundarik Vidyanidhi would come to Puri, and they would exchange notes and have intimate conversations. They would go and see Jagannath every morning. One time it happened to be the festival of Odana Shashti. Odana Shashti is the beginning, marks the beginning of winter in Puri. And that is the time when a woolen cloth is offered to Lord Jagannath. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar had come for darshan, Pundarik Vidyanidhi noticed that this cloth which was being offered to the Lord was starched. And generally, according to the rules of deity worship, you shouldn't offer a starched cloth to the Lord, and actually you shouldn't even wear it yourself. You should wash it before you wear it. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, being a stickler for rules, he told Swarup Damodar, just look at these priests. What are they doing? They're offering a starched cloth to Lord Jagannath. So Swarup Damodar said, my dear Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the Supreme Lord Jagannath is completely independent. He can do whatever he likes. In Jagannath Puri, things are different than in other places. So don't mind that. Just enjoy the festival. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi persisted. And he said, yes, the Lord is independent, but are the pujaris independent? They have to follow the rules of the Shastras. They can't do whatever they like. So Swarup Damodar and he were discussing in this way. Finally, after the festival, they went back. That night, as Pundarik Vidyanidhi lay asleep, in his dream, the Lord appeared. Jagannath appeared. And he began slapping him left and right and left and right and left and right. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was begging for mercy. He said, you dare criticize my servants? Who are you to come and try to interfere in my worship? If I want things in a certain way, it will be like that. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was begging forgiveness. Please forgive me, my Lord. Please forgive me. And then finally, the Lord disappeared from the dream. The next morning, Pundarik Vidyanidhi did not appear early morning for the darshan of Lord Jagannath. So Swarup Damodar is wondering what happened. So he went to the residence of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who opened the door. And then Swarup Damodar looked at him and said, what happened? Your cheeks are all puffed up and red and you're swollen. What's happened? So he said, come in, I'll tell you the story. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi narrated the whole pastime as it happened. And Swarup Damodar said, you are the most fortunate soul in the whole universe. The Lord has personally appeared before you and chastised you. Who can be more fortunate than you? You know, the Lord personally punishes only one who is very, very dear to him. So this is an expression of the Lord's affection for you. So these are pastimes that happened. And now since we have to speak a few words about Rath Yatra too, there's very little time left, I'll speak one last pastime. When Mahaprabhu used to chant in front of Lord Jagannath in the Rath Yatra procession, he would many times chant verses and songs which would baffle the devotees. They wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't understand what Mahaprabhu was saying and why he was saying what he was saying. Sometimes they understood the verses, but they seemed just like mundane songs. And especially one time, Mahaprabhu was chanting this verse that began with Yaha Kaumara Haraha, which was a composition by another poet who was not a Vaishnava. And it was the narration of a young boy and girl who were lovers. And everybody is wondering, why is Mahaprabhu chanting this verse and in front of Lord Jagannath like this? Swarup Damodar understood. He was such an intimate associate of Mahaprabhu that he could understand everything that Mahaprabhu was saying because he understood Mahaprabhu's moods. Others couldn't understand. But on this occasion, there was also one exalted personality who understood it. And who was that? Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami happened to be present there at that time. And he understood this verse and he composed another verse that explained the meaning of that verse which Mahaprabhu was chanting at the Rath Yatra. And he wrote it on a palm leaf and he stuck it at the thatched roof where he lived along with Haridas Thakur. When Mahaprabhu came there, as he was wont to do every day at noon to see Haridas Thakur, he saw this leaf, palm leaf there, he picked it up, he read the verse, and he gently slapped Rupa Goswami and said, how did you know my mind? How did you know what's going on in my mind? Because he saw the verse was exactly the purport to the verse that he had been chanting the previous day in the Rath Yatra. And what was that verse? That verse actually encapsulates the spirit, the mood, and the reason behind the Rath Yatra festival. Priya soyam Krishna sahachari Kurukshetra melitas Tathaham saradha tad idam ubhayah sangamas sukham Tathapyantah khelan madhura murali panchamajushe Manome kalindi pulina vipinaya sprihyati. So this was a verse written by Rupa Goswami. And this is a verse in which Srimati Radharani is speaking to her friends. Priya soyam sahachari. Sahachari means my dear sakhis, my dear friends. Priya soyam, he is still my beloved Krishna. Priya soyam Krishna sahachari Kurukshetra melitas. This is still my same beloved Krishna whom we are seeing now in Kurukshetra. The episode is, the pastime is, that it was the solar eclipse. And people from all over had come to Kurukshetra because that was where it was considered very auspicious. So the residents of Dwarka had come Vasudev, Devaki, Krishna and Balaram had also come from Dwaraka. The Brajabasis had also come from Braja, from Vrindavan. And since Krishna had left Vrindavan, now this was the time they were meeting him in Kurukshetra. So they were very happy to see him. So Srimati Radharani is speaking this verse to her friends, the gopis, and saying, this is the same beloved Krishna, and we are meeting here in Kurukshetra. Priyasoyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Melitas Tathaham Sa Radha Tad Idam Ubhayo Sangam. It's the same Krishna, it's the same Radha, it's the same me. And naturally, Sangama Sukham, I'm feeling happiness in meeting up with him and seeing him face to face. Tathapi, still, nevertheless, I'm not fully happy. Antah Khelan Madhura Murali Pancha Majushe, from within my heart, I can see Krishna playing his favorite flute, the fifth note, very melodiously. Tathapyantah Khelan Madhura Murali Pancha Majushe, and he is playing it on the banks of the Yamuna, Kalindi Pulina. And this is what I am hankering for. This is the vision of Krishna that I want to see. Now I am seeing Krishna as a royal prince. He's got all the trappings and the paraphernalia of a prince. He's got servants all around him, the royal chariot and the royal dress and everything like that. He's got the bow and the arrow. But I don't want to see Krishna like that. I want to see Krishna as the flute player, playing the flute, especially the fifth note, on the banks of the Yamuna, in the groves there. So these are the memories that I have of Krishna in Vrindavan. And that's the Krishna I want to see, the cowherd boy Krishna, not the royal prince Krishna. So this is the verse that actually encapsulates the spirit of the Rath Yatra. So the gopis at Kurukshetra, they began pulling Krishna's chariot and said, no, you're not going back to Dwarka. You're coming back to Kurukshetra with us. To Vrindavan with us. So in the Rath Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, when he was pulling the cart of Jagannath, he was in this mood. Because Jagannath is Krishna, who is feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who is in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. The Jagannath temple represents Dwarka or Kurukshetra. And Gundicha temple represents Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of taking Jagannath from Dwarka to Vrindavan. Come and be with us in Vrindavan. Be on the groves, on the bank of the Yamuna, and play your flute. So this is the whole spirit of the Rath Yatra. When the devotees take Krishna from Dwarka to Vrindavan. And therefore, Gaudiya Vaishnavas do not so much like the Ulta Rath. The Ulta Rath is when the Lord is taken back from Gundicha temple to the Jagannath temple. Because then you're taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. That's a mood. So this is the esoteric significance of the Rath Yatra as is described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And today the Rath Yatra festival is going on in Jagannath Puri. Their Lordship Jagannath Baladev Subhadra must have descended from the temple altar onto the carts, and devotees in large numbers must be pulling the carts now towards Vrindavan. Shri Jagannath Rath Yatra Mahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Swarup Damodar Ki Jai. Shri Shivananda Sen Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.